And I have a lot of material, and what the idea would be to personalize it so they can talk just the way you were talking, and at the end, in a way, this question of the governor and myself, the Harrison and the rest of them, and add an office of this, and then all the people we worked with on the campuses,
right.
And then go to each campus and talk to the people who are there now,
yeah.
And the students who are there now,
right.
And personalize it all the way down that list.
They're going. Do you remember anybody at Stony Brook with whom you dealt?
I don't, to tell the truth, because I think I really was not very directly involved
right.
By the time John Toll came in.
Right.
And up until that time, I do not remember too much about the...
You probably don't even remember me.
I do now, since I've seen you.
Yes.
But I don't really remember the details of the meetings and so forth.
Right.
I blame it in part on the fact I've gotten off into working overseas and then getting to know a whole lot of Saudi Arabians and Baghdadis and so forth and stuff.
Yeah.
And I keep turning over these new groups and new situations, so I don't. Some of it will come back to me, and sometimes I can find some files. But you will see and hear incidentally. Let me explain this to you for one minute. This was a book
which politics of architecture.
Nelson had wanted to commission a book about his architecture. After he left the vice presidency and came back, he didn't have much to do, so he wanted to write a book about all he'd done in the field of art, or what he'd done in the governmental thing, and what in architecture. Unfortunately, in a sense, the man who was selected to write it, I had suggested two or three good writers in the architectural field now, was a science writer for the Bell Laboratories. And his wife was in the office, and she spoke about and asked Nelson to talk with him. And he thought if Sam, as he did, could take these complex scientific things and write them for the public, which is what was his forte, he could take architecture and write it for the public the same way, which is all really good, but he has a lot of learning to do. I spent a lot of time with him, and in fact, did a lot of the editing, of the instructing him of how these are different parts of some of the UDC work. This is the IBEC housing. That was the thing. I was president of IBEC housing. But I spent a lot of time telling Beaker what architecture is all about. And part of the thing that I emphasized, he picked up on, and he quotes me here somewhere, that styles only one piece of the architectural process is the ability to produce buildings, and above all, to produce these buildings, is to work through the administrative and governmental process. That's what he means by the politics of architecture. Which Nelson knew if he wanted to get a piece of building built for some purpose over here, he had to mobilize all the different things, including architectural design and stuff. He got a text up, and a publisher didn't want to proceed without more architecture in it, so they asked for a sort of a architectural commentary on everything. I said, well, and they asked me if I would do it. This is the part I'm... See, this is Farmingdale. I put in enough on Farmingdale so that they would... You'd see the kind of steps through which we went, you know. This is a Geneseo one. And I'm afraid that there probably wasn't much Fredonia where we got IMP. It took me four meetings to convince them we should do it. This is old Westbury, so...
You didn't get Stony Brook in there, I guess.
No, partly because at this late date, I was working only from the slides and drawings and things like that I could get from the construction fund. And, see, this was our... This was a group of the Regional Development Office first.
I see.
Bertram Bond was head of Public Works, and I was the Regional Development. Jim Dana was on the Finance, Mr. Bill Roman. So, in any case, it ended up that I wrote these small print things for all of the illustrations. And what I tried to do by doing so was to bridge between the text and the illustrations. We had a lot of illustrations. We commissioned some separately and specially for use in this book, and yet the architectural relationship was not very great between the text and process and the illustrations, which is the purest fact. This is Harrison, incidentally. And there I am in my youth pointing out some parts of the South Wall to go. This is one of the early screens where we studied five different locations for it. So you'll enjoy this, and maybe this will lead to a lot of other questions. And you'll have other questions, and I'll
have...
Okay. I'll
get
back to you. Yeah, I'll have... I'll keep it in mind as I go through my own stuff.
I wish you would.
And
I wish you would.
Would be happy to go further. I don't know whether I'll ever get to this.
No, I don't think I do.
And that technical developer had got an option for all those. So he came to Harrison to build to design a new Rockefeller Center on the East River for the UN this time. And then Harrison began to work on it and assigned me to it. And the two of them locked me in a room, essentially. Absolutely secret, because Seckendorf was still trying to pick up options on other parcels.
Yeah.
So we developed a great big scheme, sort of, which is a little indicated in here. And just at the time that the search for the UN headquarters was all over the U.S., different people in different cities going after it, and New York's proposal was to them that they settle down in the area that had been the World's Fair site. Bob Moses wanted them to do that. But the UN people began to say they didn't want to be out in the country, they didn't want to be out west, they didn't even want to be as far away as the Flushing Meadows. They wanted, some people thought they wanted to be in New York. That's when they suddenly, one of them, actually I think it was Nelson's father, said, what about that site that Wally Harrison's doing to Zeckendorf? Nelson said, oh, we thought that, but that would cost too much money. And he said, well, why don't you find out how much it'll cost? And so that's when they found out that Seckendorf's asking price for that was over funny, it's in my head, and I told this story 800 times. Anyway, it was $8.5 million. This was the site, see.
I see.
And this was the thing that Harrison went around New York and found Seckendorf in a nightclub, and Seckendorf wrote all this stuff on it, saying that, and then eventually, this is the John D. Rockefeller Jr. check for $8.5 million. So they got it, and we suddenly had to sell them, so we took this great big Rockefeller Center type of thing. We'd shown the Metropolitan Opera, and we'd shown the Philharmonic. They were all looking for the place. Lincoln Center had an order.
I see.
And we erased Metropolitan Opera, and I wrote in General Assembly, and I erased Philharmonic, and wrote in Security Council. And we erased Hotel and wrote in Secretariat on the existing drawings, you see, that we had just to show that they could fit in 17 and a half acres, because they'd been looking for a 1,000-acre site.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's what convinced them to come. Okay, Harrison was named Director of Planning. They had a board of planners, of architects from countries around the world, Le Corbusier, the Frenchman, Oscar Niemeyer, the Brazilian, and so forth. I was the secretary of that committee, and I have my verbatim, over in those back notebooks, are my notes that I took of every meeting, of what every one of them said.
I know.
In my shorthand that I always use, I'm in kind of speed writing, architectural notation. And so I'm recreating that process of the design of the United Nations.
That's terrific.
That's really terrific. Yeah, and I find that I'm not really as easy a writer as I wished I were. And it's taking a lot of time.
Yeah.
But I always thought that possibly my next project would be to write a story of the construction center as an architectural process that I think is a really big step ahead.
Right.
I'm trying. They keep asking me to go with of the Plato process. And